This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Radio.com Cash Time. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
So it's time for the Radio.com Cash Contest here for the 9 o'clock hour. Text speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R. Text speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R, S-P-E-A-K-E-R to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Text speaker, S-P-E-A-K-E-R to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance to win is right here at 10 o'clock when I'll give you another Radio.com cash code right before the 10 o'clock hour gets kicked off. One last time, text speaker to 72881, 72881. Good luck.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly. As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
and happy Monday, where the hardest working people in show business. Are you celebrating Columbus Day or Indigenous Peoples Day today with your 9-to-5 work schedule, Jeff?
With my 9-to-5 work schedule, I think since we're at work, I'm just kind of neither.
Exactly.
I think I'm bitter and jealous of everyone that works at a bank.
We are here to entertain and inform. Exactly right. Even here on,
at least that's the idea.
Whatever day this day is in your own personal, it's Columbus Day here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because
anyway.
In 1492, Columbus tried to get everyone a day off school.
Right, exactly right. So, let's see. It is Monday. That means that in the next segment, we will be doing the fight song roundup. We'll play some songs. We even play a song that we haven't played in a while, and that's good for those folks.
And certainly not the fashion.
And certainly not, yes, exactly right, not in a triumphant fashion. We'll be playing that. We might be firing a coach during the fight song roundup. It might be time. Maybe even Jeffrey will be so moved to dispatch a coach. Anyway, fun weekend of, well, mostly college football. We'll get to that in a moment, but we'll celebrate those teams that deserve to be celebrated and chastise the pick a school that deserves to be scolded. We will talk to Chris Harrington. Does he know that, by the way? Is he here? Are we sure Chris Harrington's in town? I haven't consulted. Like, he has days off too. We don't even know this.
I've not been warned.
This is one where I haven't. You might text Chris Harrington, see if he's around. Because he's played tonight, so maybe he is. But it is, it's holiday. It's a, I think public schools, are public schools off? I think public schools off. And so.
You've come to the wrong place.
Anyway, we'll see if we got Chris at 10. I believe we do. And then we will do NFL Big Facts at 10:25 or so. That is the day today. It is, however, a day when I think we can say that we was robbed in every at every turn. I've already written a column today. It is already up at the Daily Memphian. I've already tweeted out. But if you are a Memphian in the city of Philadelphia, watch your wallet, watch your keys, watch your credit card. Take care with your PIN number, your identity, anything dear that you own, because there is a very good chance that you are going to be robbed. It is the city of Brotherly Mugged, and we have that on two fronts. Obviously, the call on the football game Saturday against Temple that cost Memphis the chance to have an undefeated season, and today, the American Athletic Conference has released the poll of coaches, the coaches' preseason poll. And the one thing we knew about this basketball team, we didn't know if they were going to win the national championship, but we knew that when Penny said that this team last week, that this team is still the hunter and not the hunted, we knew that that was preposterous. In the American Athletic Conference, you could not say, he said, oh, yeah, well, there's Houston and Cincinnati. We're still the hunter, not the hunted. And what did people do? People laughed. That's what they did, didn't they? Exactly. People, that was like, ha, 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 Penny, you're not fooling us. Well, they go up to Philadelphia, where the football team has just been robbed over the weekend, and the votes are cast. And while it is technically a tie, seven of the head coaches polled picked Houston as the number one team in the American Athletic Conference. And four picked the Memphis Tigers as the number one team in the American Athletic Conference. Only one Memphis Tiger player was selected for either the first or second team All-American Athletic Conference preseason team. First or second team, that would be James Wiseman, who was on the first team. No one else made the first or second team. Temple, South Florida, and UConn all had multiple players between the two teams. Memphis, with the number one recruiting class in the country, did not. I tell you, Jeffrey, if you are a Memphian and you happen to be in the Philadelphia environs,
yes,
there's a travel advisory has gone into effect.
It is what time color are we on?
To get your whatever. What's the bright red, brilliant bright red. It is time to get your family and get out of there before your rental car is stripped down to the hubcaps.
Mm-hmm.
No, not to the hubcaps. The hubcaps would be the first.
Yeah,
one
no, the
to
first
go.
Thing
to the
is
axles.
Gone. Yeah,
stripped down to the axles.
Nailed it.
My automotive expertise is not great. So, all right, let's take those things one by one.
All right.
Now, I know that there are those, you among them, who might suggest that the call did not decide the game.
Yes, because I'm a hashtag hater.
Because you are a hashtag hater. And, of course, anytime there is a bad call, there are a million other things you could point to. And always true, by the way. That say, yeah, if they had done this, or this, they wouldn't have been in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. That is always true. And it is certainly true here. If they had done this, or this, they would not have been in that position. And most of the thises have to do with Brady turning the ball over.
Yeah.
If Brady had not thrown that interception, by the way, I should explain, I was not in Philadelphia, and I am not in Philadelphia. Oh, the Daily Memphian is represented by both Jonah Jordan and Drew Hill, who are in Philadelphia, and they're tweeting live from the American Athletic Conference Media Day right now as we speak. We have I belong to Idlewild Presbyterian Church, uh-huh. And we have, ever since my kids were little, taken them to a church camp called Nokomi. And Nokomi is become a sort of a wonderful family tradition. It is, it's a camp that is on a creek in a holler. I would say it's in a holler. It's south of Nashville. And there's a creek and there's cabins with porches and there's a mess hall and you sit on the porch and you drink coffee and your kids run around and the whole community watches them. So you don't have to, although mine are old enough now, of course, that's not an issue. And here's the other thing. You don't get cell phone service. In order to go to get cell phone service, you have to go to the top of the hill. You have to leave the holler. And, this is my, because my Peter is a senior in high school. This was my last chance to take a kid to this camp that I've been going to for 15 years now. And so I looked at the schedule and I said, you know what? I'm going to leave this in the capable hands of Drew Hill and Jonah Jordan. So I was not aware of this when it happened. I had to go to the top of the hill to see, to get the recap and to see the highlights. And so, but anyway, so yes, the this is were Brady. When he threw that terrible pick, which was a terrible pick, if he had not done that, Memphis may not have been in this position. If he had not been strip sacked, holding the ball out like a loaf of bread, like the proverbial loaf of bread, this would not have happened. If they had not had botched the handoff, this may not have happened. If they had not had the late fumble, diving ahead as opposed to slid, this may not have happened. There are all kinds of things in all kinds of games where you can say, if they had taken care of business earlier, they would not have been in that position. And that is true. And that is real, and that is a problem. And not only is it a problem, like, just was it in that game, the real problem is before you used to be able to say about Brady, and I said there, when he had his magnificent comeback against Navy, I said there will be games, because that's who Brady is, when people will be able to claim again that Brady lost him the game, and here we are. The particularly unfortunate part of this is that it used to be able to say, well, listen, Brady's just doing what he's being asked to do. He's being smart. He's not turning the ball over, et cetera, right?
Yep.
He's being efficient.
The proverbial game manager.
Now he is turning the ball over. And all those things are true. Absolutely true. They should not have been in that position. All those things are true. It does not change the fact that I don't see how the heck they overturned that call, and also does not change the fact that I believe that but for that call, they would have won the game.
I think you're right.
It's not a slam dunk. There was no work to be done.
I'd bet on Memphis, and the whole time I was, even when they were down, 16 or whatever in the first half, and they turned it over three times, and you just felt like if they could just kind of stay the course, they could pull it off. And then when Gainwell started cramping, that was when I gave up hope.
Right. Gainwell was awesome once again. So, but anyway, so they would have, I believe, have been in a position to kick the winning field goal. I believe they would have kicked the winning field goal, and I believe they would have won the game. The weird thing about the call is when people saw the call, the way it works, and it's there were people gathered around. I later learned there were some people at Nakomi who had found a little hot spot. They were gathered around the phone, and when they saw the replay, they do the replay, and everyone's instant reaction was, oh, good. It's because this was all Memphis fans who were looking at it, and it was like, oh, yeah, they're not going to overturn that. Call on the field was that it was a completion. Incredible play by Joey Magnifico to get his arms under that ball, et cetera. And then they reverse it. And it didn't help the fact that the listen, if you look at it slowed down, he appears to have his hand under the ball. He appears to have control of the ball. When he does hit the ground, the ball does move.
Correct.
That is true. And that is, I think, the basis on which they would have overturned it. There's some thought out there that there's some mystery other angle that was available to the replay officials that was not available.
Was that on the broadcast?
ESPN. If so, I think America should see that. Like, I don't understand that. The only thing that they did say was Chuck Sullivan said the following. The ruling was that the Memphis player didn't have control of the ball as it hit the ground, and there was enough video evidence to confirm it. Well, that's just crazy. That's not supposed to be the standard. Because the ruling, listen, if they had called it incomplete,
yes,
I would not have overturned it. If they had called it, I might have, but I probably would not have, because I would have said, the ball moved. They called it incomplete. I cannot 100% say that it was complete, and so I would not have overturned it.
To me, that was the classic example of whatever they called
whatever
on the field.
Whatever they called on the field, they had to leave.
And this is the biggest problem with replay.
And they did it again, and they did it again in the Penn State game. Like that game, in the end, it didn't have.
No, it didn't.
Replay doesn't. Replay itself isn't murderously awful.
No.
It's murderously awful
when you have terrible officials that use it.
Something that is clearly it's clearly unclear.
Yeah.
Like I think he probably caught it. I can't swear for sure. I don't know.
I feel the exact same way. I sit there and go, that's a catch.
But there was nothing I saw in that video that was should have been enough to overturn it.
Exactly.
Not even close.
Exactly. It's beyond, like, the whole point is, in, you know, conclusive video evidence to suggest that the call on the field is he caught it.
Right.
And I don't think there's a typical person out there that could go, if you saw it live in real time, that would sit there and go, no way, no way. At that point, the only way it wasn't a catch was a technicality. And the technicality was, did he survive the ground? Did he, you know,
the ball moved, but it just moved. But
his hands were still under it.
On the whole
time.
Like,
that's what drives me insane. Like, the ball can move if your hands are under it and it's secured. Like, that's the whole point. But it's just the classic example. And this is why I've never have bought into college football referee conspiracies. They're just incompetent. And they're not good officials. And in general, what they do is they're not confident in the calls and the judgments that they make. So they use replay as essentially not even a crutch. Like, they're basically just making a call so that replay can, in the end, replay decides it.
Well, the weird thing is you have that going on, and then meanwhile you have the NFL's new replay where literally they don't overturn it.
Yes.
There was one last week, where the guy was just absolutely mugged, and the receiver was absolutely mugged, and they did not overturn it.
Yeah, I mean.
I think it was in the Thursday night game. Who was Thursday night game?
The Thursday night game, the play that Aaron ended up deciding the game, like, I was fine with it, but, I mean, the kid got mugged and they just didn't review it because it was in the last 2 minutes.
Right. Anyway, so I think Memphis is right to be outraged. If there is some other video that shows something, well, by all means, let's see it.
Now, I will add,
this video that we have does not, to me, did not come close to providing indisputable visual evidence that he did not catch the ball.
I will
not
add,
even close. And then here's the problem. Do I believe that the AAC is out to get Memphis? No. If the AAC had an agenda in that game,
it would have been to help Memphis.
It would have been to help Memphis. But the problem is then you layer it on top of the second half of the championship game, and then you lay that on layer on top of the holding call that against UCF in the home game here last year, and it's a lot. And now there was an incentive. There, it's very clear the AAC had, if they had an agenda, it was for UCF to win. That was clear. Saturday, that was not the agenda. The agenda would have been, if there was any agenda, it would have been for the undefeated top 25 ranked Memphis Tigers to beat Temple.
Stay undefeated.
I don't believe in any conspiracy, certainly in that instance. Indeed, as I was writing my column today, which is slightly tongue-in-cheek, but partly real, about how Memphis was getting robbed in Philadelphia generally, I don't believe there's any quote-unquote conspiracy, we'll get to this in a minute, in the basketball picks. I don't think the conference is out to get Memphis. Memphis is one of the bell cows of the conference. Do I believe that they wanted UCF? Yeah, I do. They clearly did. Like, I do believe. Do I believe that was responsible for the officiating? I don't know. They're at least, the interests of the officials and the interests of the conference and the way the game's officiated aligned completely. The conference wanted UCF, and that's the way the officiating went. So it gives rise to, at least allows for the possibility of conspiracy theorists. Here, in that game, there is no possibility of conspiracy because Memphis is the team that the conference would have wanted to win. What were you going to say?
There were technical difficulties with ESPN and the broadcast. Like, there were multiple moments in which the broadcast was they did not video feed.
Right.
And so I do wonder if one of the issues of not showing the people was there was part that was that went in line with the technical.
I'm totally prepared if there
but I still
is
think
some,
it's weird that they're sitting there going, there's a mystery angle.
I don't
like,
understand
that's
why you wouldn't release it. That like someone was telling Drew at Media Days that they saw some angle and ESPN was mad because they didn't have the same angle that then release that angle. Let's see it. Let's see it. Because right now, this is not just Memphis people saying they were robbed. All over the internet,
Golf Digest weighed in.
Golf Digest called it the biggest botched job in the history of botched jobs, which is, yes, Golf Digest was weighing in on the side of the Memphis Tigers. Anyway, that was bad for them. Their goals are still in front of them, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah, no, we said this last week. If you're going to lose a conference game, this is the one you want to lose because it's in the other division.
Right. So, and they got some challenges. You know, they have some challenges in front of them. So, there we go. On to the next one. Memphis picked, let's be clear. Memphis was picked tied with Houston, but Houston had more first base votes.
Correct.
7-2-4. James Wiseman was the only player on either of the first two teams. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous, ridiculous ranking. And I say that because no one in the universe thinks that Houston is going to be better than Memphis. It's you look at their odds to win the national title. Las Vegas has Memphis at 16-1 and has Houston at 60-1. Houston, which has been a very good team, won 33 games last year. All of that lost four starters and their three best guards. So, they have, and they're not all that experienced either. I think they have one senior. Like, this is not some formidable Houston team that should be able to, that has anywhere close the talent that Memphis has. So the question is what's at play here? And I think there are two things at play here. One is, and the most innocuous explanation is, this is just coaches being coaches, right? This is just coaches being coaches. They're voting for Kelvin Sampson. They're voting for a proven program and a proven program that has done it, right? That just did it last year. That they're voting for toughness and defense and the Kelvin Sampson way. And they're not voting for freshmen on the except for when they have to in the case of James Wiseman, because they look ridiculous not putting him on the first team. He's going to be he's projected to be the first pick in the NBA draft. They don't like voting for freshmen, right? By the way, James Wiseman was not the preseason player of the year, according to the coaches, either. Cumberland was. So that's just coaches being coaches, right? That's one way to look at it. This is what coaches do. They're instinctively conservative. They go with the proven stuff, et cetera. I think the slightly, not less innocuous, but more pointed way to look at this is this is a vote pro Kelvin Sampson, anti-Penny. And what Penny said, other coaches are jealous. I think that was a little out there. I don't know that other coaches are jealous. But it's very clearly a vote for Kelvin. You can't look at the rosters and say they're the same, right?
Agreed.
So it's only about Penny. It's the same reason why when you look at where number one recruiting classes traditionally rank, and you see where Duke and Kentucky, when they have them, are ranked, and then you look at where Memphis is going to be ranked preseason, you realize that that is a vote for Calipari and for Krzyzewski and against Penny Hardaway. And here, this is a vote that the talent's not close. This is a vote for Kelvin Sampson and against Penny Hardaway, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily say like, oh, this is a anti-Penny agenda. I think this is the classic example that you're mentioning of coaches being conservative by nature and like voting for what they've already seen and what they've known. Like, they think Kelvin Sampson's a proven entity.
The weird thing is what they've seen though isn't
exactly
doesn't have to do with players. And if it were a roster of returning players,
yes,
that would make to me more sense. It's not, and do I rule out the possibility? Listen, I think one of the games, Drew and I were just going through the schedule, and we were determining what games one of us will go to, what games both of us will go to. And we both are going to the game, at least tentatively, the game at Houston. That's a tough place to play. Kelvin Sampson is a really good coach. I don't doubt that at all. And I don't doubt they're going to be good, and I don't doubt that Houston could beat Memphis there. I just don't think they should be. When you look at the talent on the two programs, I think it's hard to justify that picking Houston over Memphis. I do think that it could not have played out any better for Penny. If Penny wants to do the aggrieved chip on the shoulder thing, Penny, let's be honest. Penny was in a place where he was having to sell and back up this, we're going to win the national championship thing, he said, right? And he's trying to back away from it a little bit. So he's doing we're still the hunter, not the hunted. And he was having a hard time selling that.
Yes.
It was hard to sell the no respect card, the chip on the shoulder card, the whatever else, when everyone is picking you to roll through the conference. It's kind of becomes a little easier to sell that, both to the public and to your own players, when you now have the coaches 7-4.
Doing your job for you.
Doing your job for you.
Yes.
Saying, yeah, we think, let's be honest, those coaches said, we think Kelvin Sampson, you're a better coach than Penny Hardaway, which the record does bear out. Like, he has a proven out. And we think that you freshmen aren't what your recruiting's rankings say you are.
Yeah.
That is what they're saying.
They did Penny's job for him.
It will not be hard for Penny to sell that to his players by any stretch. So there you go. So Memphis in Philadelphia, twice robbed. This is the city of brotherly mug. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the fight song roundup. We'll do that and play some songs, which we haven't heard in this particular context in a long time. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm going to help you today. I'm going to do that by telling you it's not too early to book parties for the holidays at Bounty on Broad. Don't put it off until the last minute when you'll be scrounging around just to find a place. Bounty is a beautiful space with incredible food and can accommodate parties from 10 to 200 people. And here's the other thing you should know about Bounty. One reason the food is so delicious is that it's locally sourced. Bounty gets cheeses from Bonnie Blue Farms, beef from Home Place Pastures, and fresh produce from Old World Farms and Hannah Farms. And the folks from Bounty asked me to mention those small farms specifically because they're serious about supporting local farms to create a sustainable food community. Bounty on Broad is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. The website is bountyonbroad.com. Or just give them a call at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131. And book your holiday party before everybody else.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Home Services, your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air. Clogged drains, putting a damper in your day, we'll clear any drain with an accessible cleanout for just $89. We'll even throw in a free camera inspection. Don't let a clogged toilet or a stopped-up sink be a pain in the drain. Give us a call today at 624-1401. That's 624-1401.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Spencer here with ATC Fitness. We have exciting news. All premium members of ATC Fitness now have access to our newly added hydro massage lounges. That's right. For only $25 a month, you'll have access to 18 state-of-the-art facilities, access to tanning, and now access to the best massage unit on the market. Come in today and relax with a free demo. You deserve it. Don't forget, you can also sign up online. ATCFitness.com. ATC Fitness. Exercise your right to look good.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the only place to get world championship barbecue in the Memphis area is at Memphis Barbecue Company, which is owned by Melissa Cookston, the 8-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. It's great for lunch or dinner, and if you need catering, they can handle that too. Just order online at memphisbbqco.com. Melissa is so respected, she's been invited to cook at the James Beard House in NYC on November 2nd. That's one of the most prestigious honors a chef can receive, so if you're looking for great barbecue, you know where to go. Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
What's the difference between good and great? Good is getting a haircut you love. Great is getting it for $5.99. It's time for the $5.99 Great Haircut Sale at Great Clips. And when you use online check-in to stop in for our best sale of the year, you'll not only save money, but time too. Download our online check-in app to snag a great haircut for just $5.99. The Great Haircut Sale at Great Clips. It's going to be great.
The $5.99 Great Haircut Sale runs October 12th through October 18th.
Visit our Memphis area salons.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL. That's why you need Xfinity. You can get the fastest, most reliable internet with gig speeds available. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network. Set curfews with parental controls and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, the best internet provider in America, according to speedtest.net. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. Or get four times the speed for just $10 more a month for 12 months. Plus, add enhanced network security. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter 25 megabits per second internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Hey, you're that famous actress. You must travel so much. What's the best site for hotel deals?
Hilton.com.
No. One with crazy savings.
Hilton.com. With their price match guarantee, if you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off.
No, one with lots of options.
Hilton.com has 16 top hotel brands. Hampton, Hilton Garden Inn, Waldorf Astoria.
Hilton.com. You should totally do their commercials.
Expect better. Expect Hilton.
You're good.
I know. Thank you.
Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com.
How do smart, hardworking roofing contractors keep jobs running smoothly? They save time with Beacon. The Beacon Pro Plus app features online ordering, automated rebate tracking, and online bill pay. Choose products like high-quality CertainTeed shingles and accessories. Easily find the style, color, and quantity, and let the app do the ordering for you. With Beacon Pro Plus, order 24/7 from anywhere. You work hard, now work smarter. Download the free app at beaconproplus.com.
Shopping for a new car? Orion has auto loans starting as low as 1.99% APR. Visit orionfcu.com for more details. APR accurate as of today's date. Conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
There's a little nip in the air. You can get the boy, it got cold over the weekend, didn't it? Like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah, I felt like it went from like.
I felt bad complaining about it,
yeah.
Though, because
we've, I just didn't
like,
go
2 days
outside.
Before been complaining about the heat. So, anyway, you want your, finally, you want your beautiful fall clothes? Get to O'Call. I told you that I got a random email from someone after Memphis Madness. A listener who said that his daughter had written him to say how snappy I look and someone must be dressing me. Not physically, but like, you know. And Thomas, the listener, said, yeah, that would be O'Call. People notice when you wear quality clothing. People notice when you wear clothing that fits right. People notice when you wear clothing that makes you look your best. That's what O'Call can do for you. And if you're one of these lucky people who's not working today, head on in and say hello. Get yourself something for the fall season. All right, we got to do the fight song roundup. Let's do it.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me.
Here's an old familiar tune. Didn't we play this when they beat UT Chattanooga?
I think we did, but I'm not certain.
But it was even then, it was half like, yeah, when someone finally scores.
It's just like, yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. You know, good for them.
It was mockingly.
Good for them.
And now I play it out of only infinite respect. Well, not infinite.
I would say that's
limited
a stretch
respect,
for me.
A measure of respect for what they did.
A tip of the cap.
That was a real victory.
I think.
Yeah, it was a real victory. Mississippi State's a mess, but it was still
yeah,
it was over
exactly.
It was over an SEC program.
Yes.
It was,
and you were not favored.
And they were not favored.
Yes.
That was a real victory over an SEC program. Listen, what they did to Kylan Hill, that was real.
Yeah, no, they shut him down.
11 carries, 13 yards. Like, that's, he's a real running back.
No, I completely agree.
Last I checked, Georgia State was like running free, running wild and free over him. And now, Kylan Hill, 11 carries.
And you dominated the football game. You took advantage of a flawed football team and you dominated the football. Like, that is something they haven't done.
Had 8 sacks coming. This is progress.
Yes.
Had 8 sacks coming into the game all year long, 7 sacks against Mississippi State. The quarterbacks were, you know, but.
Yeah, no, they've not settled that position.
No, but so they did what they did. They
exactly.
were incredibly
conservative.
They're
now just going to, yeah.
They didn't throw the ball much. Garantano was good at what he did. He was 6 of 7, 106 yards, 1 touchdown. I think all they needed was the orange jersey and orange pants. Wasn't that the key?
Yeah, orange on orange.
Orange on orange? How do you like the orange on orange?
I still think
it's a lot of orange.
I like the white pants with the orange stripes better, but I guess it's me nitpicking.
The old problem with the Tennessee white was the names, right?
Exactly.
No one could ever read the names.
Right. I like the orange jersey. I like the orange top. The orange top with the white helmet, white pants with like the two orange stripes down the side. Like I think that's a good looking uniform.
So does this represent progress for Tennessee? Clearly, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what it means. It may say more about Mississippi
right.
State.
But yes, in terms of able to, they had a chance. They had a flawed opponent coming in, and they didn't play perfectly, but they won the football game. And more importantly, when it felt like the game was perhaps maybe slipping out of their hands,
they had to make.
Exactly. And I do think there's something to be said for that. Like, because I think one of the big complaints about this football team was they do not know how to like win. And I think they displayed on Saturday, they displayed an ability to win the football
game. In terms of the are Tennessee fans happier than Mississippi State fans are depressed? I think no.
No,
I think the more,
no.
First of all, you were exactly right with Mississippi State going into this game.
Yeah.
That this was a game where they were going to play all of their suspended players,
yep.
their mystery suspensions.
Yep.
They were all going to play because they deemed it to be winnable
yes.
and significant.
Yes.
And you're exactly right. They all played. They deemed it to be winnable and significant. And then they lose to what is, let's be honest, by Tennessee standards, a feeble Tennessee standard, 20-10. They don't have their quarterback thing figured out either. The Tommy Stevens experiment.
Mm-hmm.
He returns for the first half, throws 2 picks,
yep.
does not look good. And they
He didn't
are,
look healthy, but I thought that's on Moorhead, in my opinion. Like, Moorhead's trying to force play
him.
Him
in there.
Yeah.
The Moorhead thing is not going well.
No, I think there's a lot of Mississippi State fans that are hoping maybe that Joe Moorhead looks at that Rutgers job and says that, you know, I'm a Northeastern guy. I'd be a better fit there if I can get people to buy in that, you know, 6-6 is a good season here. Maybe that's the spot.
Really?
Yep.
They want him to bounce already. I thought he was just going to be – it was like 2 minutes ago he was going to be an upgrade over Dan
Mullen.
Yeah,
no, that's what happened. That's what you say when your coach leaves you for a better
but
job.
They believed it.
No, they just believed it. No, they just
they
said
just
it very loudly.
It. No, they believed it. They
no,
believed
they
it.
Said it very
Everyone
loudly.
It. I actually yesterday saw on the message, one of the Memphis football Facebook pages.
Yeah.
Someone said, I don't want Mike Norvell using the where we were 5 years ago a program excuse anymore.
Sure.
That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Where we were, just because we were terrible 5 years ago, that shouldn't be used as an excuse any longer. And I looked at it and I said, are you crazy? When you're 5-1, you don't need an excuse. Like, Mike Norvell doesn't need excuses for what he's doing with his football program. You don't need excuses. The idea that some fans have that football is always a one-way
yes.
a one-way ratchet. All you do is get better, right? That whatever, if you make a coaching change, the worst that can happen is you'll do exactly,
exactly.
as you are now, but you'll probably do is better.
Yes.
You'll take all the good things about the program, and then the next coach will do all those good things and fix the few bad things.
Yes.
Is craziness.
Completely agree.
And it's what Mississippi State fans thought about Dan Mullen, that they would – all the good things that Dan Mullen did would stay, and then the few things that irritated him about Dan Mullen.
Yes.
Like he couldn't beat Alabama much. He did some, But what irritated? They didn't throw the ball effectively down the field. They didn't.
No, I think the thing that upset most Mississippi State people about Dan Mullen is they felt like Dan never beat anyone that was better than they were. Like, you know, like in a given year.
Right.
Like maybe a team had a better brand. Like,
right.
But I think that was the idea, is that Mullen was very good at beating the teams he's supposed to beat, and then he never really...
It is interesting.
He never really stepped
that
off.
You think that there is a significant number of Mississippi State fans. Do you believe that Mississippi State would be better off if Joe Moore had bounced?
Yes.
You who doesn't believe in coaching changes midstream because
this is a bad fit, and I thought this was a bad fit for a while.
It is weird. Why is one Yankee a good fit? Like,
sure, Mullen.
It's two straight Yankees, right?
Yeah, because Mullen,
another Yankee, a bad fit.
Mullen had experience coaching in the SEC. Mullen kind of knew. Mullen at least understood the league. Moorhead did not.
Anyway, congratulations to Tennessee for the big win. And it was for the real win. It was a real win. And so shout out to the Vols. Next. Woo! Did you like the chomp?
I thought this was the best straight-up football game we've seen all season, because there was no... Like, think about it. The officials didn't get overly involved. You know, like, if you just, like, this was a college football game that felt like the pacing, everything. It just felt like a very, very good football game.
Well played, both
sides.
Yes,
exactly.
Florida takes the 28-21 lead in the second half.
Yes.
LSU outscores them 21-0 to LSU. Based on resume, number one team in the land?
I don't really know who has a better resume than them at this point. They have a road win at Texas, and I don't think Texas is like a top 10 team, but I think in the context of college football, Texas is a good team. I think this speaks more about Florida, because, and this is what I've always believed to be true about Dan Mullen. He's a really good football coach. Like Kyle Trask, now I will say this about Dan. I think Dan kind of went in with the idea that Trask was going to struggle. And I think playing Emory Jones in the fashion that he did ended up costing him. Because I think Trask was playing a hell of a football game. And it was almost like he expected Trask to struggle, so he had to have this plan B, and they'd worked on it, so therefore he went with it. But overall, like, it was just a heck of a football game.
How do you explain the Florida defense giving up 42 points? Is that literally just how good LSU is?
Yeah.
How LSU is?
Yeah, I think that's how good LSU is.
And not getting a single sack?
No.
The amazing thing is to think what Joe Burrow in this same game last year, sacked five times, completed 56% of his passes, three turnovers, a pick six, threw for fewer than 200 yards.
Yep.
And here he was, 21-24, 293 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. He is now completing for the season.
Yep.
For the season?
Yeah.
79.6% of his passes, and they aren't all screens.
No, he's chunking the football.
And he is chunking the football.
I think the best way I would describe it is, I think when teams go on the road, one thing that gets left out of it is everyone goes, well, your offense can't communicate. And that's true, but what I think a bigger issue is the defensive line gets to play with, like, the crowd pumps them up, and then the offensive line is a little more hesitant. And so when you have one of those defensive lines that's just freakishly athletic and then you're playing on your heels the whole time, you don't quite get that when it's reversed.
LSU now averaging 52.5 points.
Is that good? No, I mean, like, think
about... Alabama, by the way, is averaging 51.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about...
What in the world?
If you think about the way this game played out, it was essentially a very even football game. Then Florida turns it over in the red zone. LSU immediately goes down and scores, and you go, that's all she wrote.
Right. And that's when the chomp broke out.
Yes. Which was... I mean, I'm fine with it because Florida players were taunting LSU about the death of Mike the Tiger, who tragically died 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess now, of cancer. And so you get whatever you deserve on that one.
Right.
Mike's a great mascot. Yeah.
Anyway, shout out to LSU and Ed Orgeron.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hilarious stories. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stories.
Go Tigers.
This is what Dream Gold to die.
Who's next?
I don't know if we should celebrate them or if we should blow up Georgia.
Well, that's the tough. Honestly, let's be honest. More people are blowing up Georgia after
sure.
this. Right? And this is really...
Because it's
here's
not like...
the real problem with the fight, with the imbalance of the fight song round.
Yeah.
Is that we try to find teams to celebrate, and then we blow up one.
Yeah.
Whereas the truth of the matter is, we could have blown up Mississippi State.
Sure.
And here, many more people are blowing up Georgia than... And honestly, let's have a moment of silence for our friends in the Georgia and greater Atlanta area. First, you got
just
the baseball.
A tough week.
First, you got the baseball game, right? Yesterday, the Falcons lose on a missed extra point.
Yep.
And then you got this. That is rough. Plus, there's still the traffic. You know, plus you still got the traffic.
Yeah, sure.
And
they still lost 28-3.
If you were to celebrate this from the South Carolina side, what would you say?
We forced Jake Fromm to have to beat us, and he couldn't. And you know what? We harassed him all day. He threw more interceptions against us than he has in any game in his career. He threw his first pick six. We just got after him, and you know what? We out-toughed them, and they're a bully team, and we bullied them. That would be the spin zone.
Okay. Jake Fromm, as you point out, yeah, three picks, pick six. It was not a great day for Jake Fromm. I think some of that has to do with, and I think it's going to be a problem. Here's the real problem for Georgia. Well, there's two. There's two problems. One is, you could say all you want that this doesn't kill them, and it
sure.
doesn't, because if they still win the SEC,
yep.
they are...
Fully agree.
They're fine.
They
right?
went out, yeah.
The problem is they don't look good enough to win the SEC.
Exactly.
And they don't look good necessarily good enough to win the East. And...
Who looked more impressive to you on Saturday?
Right, Florida. Florida's much more impressive, right? And they got a brutal schedule coming up in November. And once Cager goes out,
yep.
who gets open for them? Like, I'm with you. Like, I think Jake Fromm, you've never been a believer in Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
But I didn't, compare Georgia receivers to Alabama receivers.
Sure.
It's not a close call.
Right.
And so
this is also
how you keep up.
But this is a problem
in this SEC.
This is what I don't think the casual fan recognizes about Alabama's receiver. Yes, they're obviously immensely talented. Are you telling me the receivers at Georgia are not highly recruited? The receivers at LSU are not highly recruited? Clemson, whatnot. The difference is Tua consistently puts the ball where, like on an out route. It's always going to be to the outside where the guy can turn upfield and immediately be full speed heading upfield. On slant passes, he's always hitting him in the hands to where they catch him in stride.
All you're going to have to do is look at the NFL draft, and you'll see where these receivers
sure.
go. You'll see that the Georgia receivers are not
right.
going where the
but
Alabama receivers
are going. But when you look at, like, when you watch, like, Fromm, it's not as clean. Like, Fromm is, he clearly doesn't have as good of an arm. He's not as accurate. But I think the biggest problem with Saturday is Jake Fromm's not going into a game against South Carolina expecting to have to throw it 51 times.
Right. You should not have thrown it 51 times.
Exactly.
This was supposed to be a Georgia team that could run the ball, and they can't run the ball.
Right. That's the thing.
They averaged 4 yards a run.
They've been able to run the ball against Arkansas State, like the teams that they can, and I guess Tennessee to an extent. But Tennessee in the first quarter, like it wasn't just, hey, line up and run it down our throats. Like Tennessee made them at least have to earn it from the second half on. But I think that's the biggest problem is Kirby Smart thinks that, like,
well,
you would think that he would have learned the lesson that Saban learned, which is I can't just line up and have better players than you and win. I've got to go out and get Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, so that gets us to the second problem, which is first problem is Georgia may just not be good enough. Second problem is their coach may just not be good enough because we see it again, and there were two instances in this game. The first was in the waning seconds, 8 seconds left, third down. They have a chance to kick a 55-yard field goal. He decides to call another play and
yep.
said there's an illegal shift, pushes it back 5 yards, and then they throw the Hail Mary. So people are ripping him for not kicking the field goal the first time around. Blankenship had obviously hit a 55-yarder in the Rose Bowl 2 years ago.
He did a 50-yarder earlier and then he missed a 53.
And it has Philly has the leg for it.
Yes, there's no question on that.
So should he have tried for the extra play? Clearly backfired. And then secondly, should he have gone ahead and tried the 60-yarder rather than throwing up the Hail Mary?
Yeah, I think he should have, when they had a chance to kick a 50-something yarder with 8 seconds left, that should have been when.
Just kicked it, right. Yes.
Like, what are you arguing? I mean, this is the problem that Georgia fans are never going to want to hear and they're probably not going to admit to. Those two coaches, the head coaches on the respective sidelines, they're essentially the same person. One just has a better job.
Oh!
Yep. And I'm fine with saying that. Kirby Smart, each and every year has a loss where you go, how? What? Like,
down to their third string quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, who could not throw at all?
Who could not throw at all. Okay. And then the second Kirby Smart call was really, I think, almost the bigger one. Like, what the hell? So, South Carolina is trying to get a play in.
Yeah.
Fourth and one at the Georgia 16 in overtime. They're about to take a delay of game penalty. They have no idea what they're doing.
The quarterback is literally looking at the tailback in the backfield as the play clock's at one, and they are clearly panicked. Like,
and
massively
Kirby
panicked.
Kirby Smart calls the timeout.
Challenge accepted. You think you could outdone me? Hell no, I'm a big football guy.
And of course, then they did. Listen, that they lost. I mean, in the end, they missed a field goal. Like,
yeah.
So, but yeah, that was not good for Georgia. I'm sorry, we're not giving appropriate credit to South Carolina here. But there you go.
It's all tough right, to
and
give
our
credit
final,
when you're at
our final honoree of the week is.
We have two more if you want.
Well, we have one more honoree, don't we? Do we have two more?
We have two more honorees.
We have one to blow up. Oh no, we do. You're right.
This was.
As Oklahoma defeats Texas 34-27. The weird thing is that the SEC game, which would have thought, according to history, would have been a titanic defensive struggle.
Yeah.
Was a shootout. And this game, not a shootout, but
no, we can't call it that anymore.
We certainly can't call it a shootout. But like Oklahoma may have a defense this year.
Yeah, I think, was it 8 sacks and then 13?
Like, sacks. They had nine sacks. Listen, the same way that Joe Brady gets a lot of credit as the offensive coordinator at LSU, Alex Grinch should get a lot of credit as the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma. 9 sacks of Texas.
15 tackles for loss.
15 tackles for loss. Texas had come in averaging 484 yards a game. They get 305 total yards. And by the way, CeeDee Lamb is really good.
Yeah. CeeDee Lamb can play for me.
Yes, he can. CeeDee
Lamb
for my Buffalo Bills I'm thinking.
He can play for my team.
I'm thinking he can play for my Buffalo Bills.
There was a moment in the broadcast, though, that I just loved because there's this narrative of, like, Jalen Hurts. Like, there's this love affair with Jalen Hurts that doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm happy for him. The kid's going on to have great success. But
not a lot of people can have won games in the Oklahoma, and that's just true. Auburn, Alabama, Oklahoma, Texas. He won games in both rivalries. At least he said he did.
So he lost the first year. He was on the team last year in the Auburn, Alabama.
There you go.
No, he's never been the starter.
You're being picky.
No, he's never been the starter because that's the reason they lost to Auburn the year that Auburn went to the SEC championship game. Like, he was terrible. But there was a moment that Joel Klatt goes, Lincoln Riley. One of the big things he's trying to work on this year is he wants Jalen to actually go through his progressions. And I was like, good luck. Because that's not what he does.
Such a hate.
That's not what he does.
Like, get to the last one.
It's not what he does. The sexiest unsexy team.
Listen, this is getting pretty sexy.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, legitimately the sexiest unsexy team.
And a good fight. Wisconsin.
Yes, on Wisconsin's
38-0 zip over Michigan.
Their fourth shutout.
their fourth shutout in six games. They are allowing 4.8 points per game. 4.8 points per game. It's the first team since 1967 to get four shutouts in six games. And Mike D'Antoni, we could have blown up. Here, I actually think it's appropriate to credit Wisconsin.
Yes, because they suffocated them.
But I wouldn't mind blowing up Michigan State either. No. Mike D'Antoni asked afterwards if he should have maybe changed up his offensive staff.
Yeah.
Said, I think that's sort of a dumbass question.
Yeah, good answer.
Last year, your team was 126th in offense, 18.7 points a game, 124th in yards per passing attempt.
Yeah.
And this year, your offense still stinks. I don't think that makes it a dumbass question. Meanwhile, you have Wisconsin. The Wisconsin football Twitter, tweeted out the following score. 61-0 over Central Michigan, 35-14 over Michigan, 38-0 over Michigan State. Their words after the three scores, quote, send us the deed.
Yep.
Good for Wisconsin.
Good for them.
I hope they beat the hell out of Ohio State.
I don't think they will.
I don't either.
And I know
I'm
betting
say
on.
That. I thought they would. I hope they do, though.
Sure.
Anyway, that was fun. And who are we gonna blow up today? The Vanderbilt Cowboys. They came in as a 15.5 point. Is that what you
have? At one point it was 17. I think it by the end of the by kickoff, I think it was a 15.5 point line. Against truly one of the worst teams in all of college football.
A team that had only beaten Southern Utah, I believe.
Yes.
And got destroyed 34-10. Actually scored on the first drive.
Yeah.
So after that, it was 34-3. And I think the there were supposedly 20,000 there at the game, but there were
you
not.
You know what we mean.
And it's got to be it for Derek Mason, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think this is that. I think that was this team's clearly quit. Like I told you, the effort that I saw from them against Ole Miss was about as sad of an effort as I've seen. And then last week they took the challenge and they said, "No, we can do worse."
1-5 now, which is the first time since his first year at Vanderbilt, and Listen, they were decent when they had the Derek Mason era. When they had Kyle Shurmur as quarterback, they were decent. They were 19-24 and averaged 23 points a game.
Sure. And I think they won three straight against Tennessee.
And without him, they are 6-19.
Yep.
Without Kyle Shurmur. They just haven't been able to do
anything. Anytime you got a Shurmur, you know, leading your offense,
you
nothing
roll
but
with that.
Wins and wins and wins.
You
and wins,
that.
Upon
so,
wins upon wins upon wins.
Who do you want Vanderbilt to hire? It's so hard.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, James Franklin had success there. Well, how's James Franklin doing?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
You have to hire a great coach.
Yes, and that is a very hard thing
to
do.
It's hard to hire great coaches.
If everyone just goes, well, just hire a great coach.
That's one of the things that Memphis, if anyone's ever critical of Mike Norvell, like the guy on the message board saying, what's his excuse going to be now? It's not easy to hire great coaches, and Memphis has done that twice. Certainly great coaches for that time, that moment in Memphis history. I don't know if Justin Fuente, you know, who knows.
How many teams go undefeated every year?
Yeah, it's just but it appears that's the end for what we're going to have some interesting TAMS rankings this week.
See, Tennessee won.
Tennessee wins. And our two juggernauts, Memphis and Mississippi State, lose. And I actually wonder if Vanderbilt is going to be challenging Liberty. If Vanderbilt's going to be challenging.
They most certainly will be.
Movement at the top and the bottom of the TAMS ranking.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of bowel movement.
All right. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. They play tonight. He has a story up at the Daily Memphian on Ja and Jaren. So we will talk to him next. A little NFL football after that. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's here, the 2019 Ford F-150 XLT, the truck you've always wanted, now with an offer you'd never expect.
For a limited time, get a premium leather interior and a full spray-on or drop-in bed liner at no extra charge. The luxury you want with an offer you can't pass up. Hurry, this no-charge premium leather and liner offer ends soon. Katzen Premium Leather, valued at $1,695. Bedliner $450 equals total package value of $2,145. See your Ford dealer for details.
There are a lot of SUVs on the road today, but many SUVs lack in sport and utility, not Ford SUVs.
Don't let me go.
Because Ford SUVs offer intelligent four-wheel drive, not to mention ruggedness and versatility.
Your first name is free.
Which means you can drive it like an SUV is meant to be driven. And you can drive it like a Ford.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.